From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Blue Collar Press. Blue Collar Press has been helping businesses, musicians, and artists, big and small, turn ideas into promotional merchandise for 20 years. More information at bluecollarpress.com.
53 degrees in Lawrence, 55 in Manhattan. It is 6:06.
Listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. A service of the University of Kansas. We are also proudly listener-supported public media. You can listen online anytime at kansaspublicradio.org. While you're there, you can make a pledge of support just by clicking the cleverly titled tab that says Support. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks for supporting your local public media stations.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center and the KU School of Music, hosting the Prairie Winds Festival, featuring percussionist Jason Truding, Saturday, February 7th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets available at lead.ku.edu.
Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines. That's going to happen at 6:30. At approximately 6:44, we are going to tell you more about what has been happening with regard to viral videos these days. Influencers have really had a lot of say in the things that actually happen. What is the big connection? We'll talk about it coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Weaver's Department Store, serving Northeast Kansas from downtown Lawrence since 1857. Open 7 days a week, offering apparel, cosmetics, and housewares. Online shopping available at weaversinc.com.
We do have a 70% chance of rain late tonight with lows in the mid-40s. Nearly a 100% chance of rain tomorrow. Patchy fog, highs in the upper 50s. It's 53 degrees in Lawrence. It is 6:20.
This is NPR News.
Congress is back in session. The House of Representatives is expected to vote on extending the Affordable Care Act health insurance subsidies. But will it matter?
The three-year clean ACA extension is not going to pass the Senate, so you need bipartisan compromise.
We look at the state of the debate on Capitol Hill tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. The latest national, international, and regional news. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the Raven Bookstore, located at 809 Massachusetts Street, Lawrence, Kansas, offering books, events, store cats, and more since 1987. Information and shopping at ravenbookstore.com.
Up next, we have news headlines getting underway in just about 35 seconds. A 70% chance of rain late tonight with lows in the mid-40s. It is 50 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 6:30.
Even cancer. Research shows most Americans don't follow federal dietary guidelines, but the new guidance will affect the nation's schools and military bases. A mixed bag of trading on Wall Street today. The Dow lost 466 points. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The leaders of public universities in Kansas are asking for more money from the state. A legislative subcommittee met this week to discuss how to fit higher education into the state budget. School leaders want additional funding to hire more faculty and renovate lab facilities. Pittsburgh State President Thomas Newsom says he understands the need to reduce some services, such as ending that school's geology program, in order to make room for future projects.
We need to have a better understanding of if we want new toys, then we need to probably look at getting rid of some of our old toys.
Lawmakers will get into the full swing of budget talks next week after the 2026 legislative session begins in Topeka. Alaska Airlines announced today that it will order more than 100 new jets from Boeing over the next decade. The order is Alaska Airlines' largest ever, and it marks a vote of confidence in Boeing following troubles with its 737 MAX program. The airline plans to order 105 Boeing 737 MAX jets. It's also buying five 787 Dreamliners, as it is planning to expand with nonstop flights to Italy, South Korea, and some other cities. At an announcement in Seattle, U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said recent sales have been a boon for the aircraft manufacturer.
The world and America has faith in Boeing and the progress that they've made. Again, record sales last year, but also what this deal today means with Alaska.
Boeing reacquired Wichita-based Spirit AeroSystems in December. It's now Wichita's largest employer with around 12,000 workers. A new grant will give Kansas City medical students the opportunity to help bridge health care gaps in rural communities in southeast Kansas and southwestern Missouri. The one-year program at Kansas City University will pair students with university alumni who work in rural areas. Dr. Catherine Satterwhite leads the university's Center for Population Health and Equity. She says the goal is to create a pipeline from students' undergraduate studies to the start of a professional career.
We don't just want to talk about, hey, it's awesome to practice rural medicine. We want to show our students, and we want to do that by partnering with rural communities so our medical students can practice side by side with excellent physicians.
The $273,000 grant is from the Patterson Family Foundation. This is KPR.
Support for NPR.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Every day, NPR goes straight to the news source, whether we're tapping the knowledge of NPR network colleagues.
Joe Shaneman is host of Nevada Public Radio's morning talk show, State of Nevada. He is here to host.
Or checking in with NPR foreign correspondents with deep expertise.
Joining us now to talk about all this is NPR's Joanna Kakissa. She's in Kyiv, Ukraine's capital. Good morning, Joanna.
Unpack the headlines, stay connected, stay informed. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is your place for NPR News programming, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, 89.7 FM in Emporia, many frequencies all around the state, thanks to the contributions of listeners just like you. You can listen online anytime at kansaspublicradio.org or check out our app. Lots of really interesting little services provided by the app. You can set your alarm to wake you up to KPR. You can get audio on demand. It's really cool. We have a version for iOS and a version for Android, wherever you get your apps.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, engaging the community with programs like Masterpiece, Nature, Frontline, and Antiques Roadshow. Program schedule available at kansascitypbs.org.
Coming up, we have about another 11 minutes of All Things Considered. 7:01 on your KPR One stations. You will hear news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stay tuned for the Moth Radio Hour.
Support for KPR comes from Mammoth, presenting Alison Krauss in Union Station June 21st at the Topeka Performing Arts Center. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster.com. That's Alison Krauss in Union Station at Topeka Performing Arts Center June 21st.
This is KPR.
It's All Things Can harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org. And from the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. This is NPR.
Sometimes the best New Year's resolution is to keep a healthy habit going strong. So keep joining us weekday mornings for Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow on your KPR 1 and KPR 2 stations. Matthew Algio will be your local host. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Up next, we have news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music. Steve Seal will be your host. Then it's Jazz in the Night starting at 9 o'clock.
Support for KPR comes from Porter Cattle Company, raising cattle near Emporia. Richard Porter is proud to support the goals and mission of Kansas Public Radio.
If you happen to have an Amazon smart speaker, you can play individual KPR shows now on demand. To get started, just tell your device to enable the KPR skill. Then when you say play KPR, you get the option of streaming the live signal or playing shows like the Retro Cocktail Hour. To learn more, never fear, we have it all written out for you to explain how to do it at the Extras tab at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
It is 51 degrees in Lawrence. It is 7:01, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Authorities confirmed that immigration officials shot and killed a 37-year-old woman during President Trump's immigration crackdown in Minneapolis. The administration says the woman was blocking the road and that the agent fired in self-defense. But local officials and bystanders dispute that account, NPR's Jimena Bustillo reports.
ICE officials say she drove at them, prompting one officer to shoot. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem accused the woman of, quote, an act of domestic terrorism.
This goes to show the assaults that our ICE officers and our law enforcement are under every single day.
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey is denouncing the sweeping ICE operation in his city.
What they are doing is not to provide safety in America. What they are doing is causing chaos and distrust.
Minneapolis police have turned over the scene to the FBI and state authorities to investigate. Jimena Bustillo, NPR News.
Secretary of Energy Chris Wright says the U.S. will control the sale of oil from Venezuela indefinitely. President Trump says he will personally control the money made from selling at least 30 million barrels of Venezuelan crude. NPR's Camilla Domonoski reports.
Venezuela's oil production is a fraction of what it used to be, but the country still produces about 1 million barrels per day. U.S. sanctions and blockades have made it difficult to export all that oil, and some got stuck in storage. Wright says instead of maintaining the blockade, the U.S. will now let the oil flow.
But have those sales done by the U.S. government and deposited into accounts controlled by the U.S. government.
The funds could then flow back into Venezuela, Wright says. The Trump administration has also called for U.S. companies to invest to increase Venezuelan production, but it is not yet clear if or when that might happen. Camilla Domonoski, NPR News.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio says he will meet with Danish officials next week as President Trump reiterates his intention to take over Greenland. The island is a self-governing territory of Denmark, and Denmark's prime minister has warned that a takeover would threaten the NATO alliance. Nick Reiner, the man accused of killing his parents, director Rob Reiner, and mother Michelle Singer Reiner, has lost his high-profile attorney Steve Futterman reports.
The change of lawyers was unexpected. High-profile attorney Alan Jackson said he had no choice but to withdraw from the case.
Circumstances beyond our control have dictated that, sadly, it's made it impossible for us to continue our representation of Nick.
Nick Reiner will now be represented by a public defender, raising the possibility that finances could be the reason behind the switch. In a parting comment, Jackson was defiant about the case.
Pursuant to the law in California, Nick Reiner is not guilty of murder. Print that.
There has been speculation that Reiner's legal team may employ an insanity defense. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Stardate, January 7th. Stars are born when giant clouds of gas and dust break apart and collapse. And if that's all there was to it, the Milky Way galaxy would give birth to a couple of hundred stars every year. Instead, thanks to feedback from the stars themselves, it makes only a few. Feedback is a process that clears away the material for making stars, but can also trigger the birth of more stars. Young stars, for example, produce winds and jets that blow away the gas and dust around them. Since stars are born in clusters, many youngsters can be sweeping away the star-making material at the same time. That pares back the number of stars that can be born in a cluster. Mature stars add to the feedback, not only with winds, but also with radiation. Hot stars generate a lot of ultraviolet energy. It vaporizes tiny particles of dust, eliminating possible building blocks for new stars. The heaviest stars explode as supernovas. These blasts can clear out the space for light years around, creating big, empty bubbles. And supernovas also accelerate subatomic particles around them to almost the speed of light. These cosmic rays help to sweep away the raw material for making more stars. But supernovas can also enhance the birth rate. Their shock waves can cause distant clouds of gas and dust to collapse to form stars. So feedback is a complex process, one that both aids and hinders the birth of new stars. Our web address is stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Good evening, I'm Steve Seal. I'm glad you're here, and I am glad myself to be here too, because it's on days like this and we don't quite know what to do when it is good to be reminded of the arc of history, the things that have lasted over the centuries, and to be comforted by them as well in great music. So that is what I can do tonight, and we're going to listen to Mozart's final symphonic statement coming up here in about 15 minutes, the Jupiter Symphony, and this music of Dvorak played by the Rochester Philharmonic, conducted by David Zinman. Thank you. Festival. March by Dvorak, played by David Zinman and the Rochester Philharmonic. This evening's classical music is supported by Viking, dedicated to bringing travelers closer to the destination. Viking offers a small ship experience with no children and no casinos. Discover more at viking.com. Albert Sammons was an English violinist and composer, and a lot of his reputation comes mainly from his association with British composers, especially Elgar. This is a piece of his, though, for violin and piano, a Humoresque by Albert Sammons, played here by violinist Paul Barrett. Humoresque by Albert Sammons, played by violinist Paul Barrett and pianist Catherine Edwards.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Crystal Image Photography Studio, offering in-studio and on-location senior pictures, family portraits, professional headshots, and more, serving Lawrence and surrounding areas since 2004. Information and portfolio at tcistudio.com. And Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at KansasTreeCare.com or 785-843-TREE.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 53 and fair. Wind is from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, scattered showers with a low in the mid-40s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. It's 53 and fair.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
We tend to imagine that composers simply write all their music because they're inspired to do so. But down through history, for centuries, that is almost never the way it has worked. And especially when it comes to big works that require lots of parts and lots of musicians to play them. 9 times out of 10, such works are requested by royalty or a wealthy patron or something, and the composer then sets about writing something. So the fact that there is no record that's ever been found of Mozart having received any commission, any request to write any of his final 3 symphonies has led to a lot of speculation through the centuries. Did he, in fact, just write them for his own edification? Or just for posterity to find after his death? Did he know he was going to die after completing them? Even more fanciful, did he conceive symphonies 39, 40, and 41 together as a kind of suite of 3? Well, we don't know any of these things, but we do know that if you're going to take your exit, that his symphony number 41, which has become known as the Jupiter Symphony, is a fine way to do so. And here is Emmanuel Krivine and the Philharmonia Orchestra.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Symphony No. 41, the Jupiter Symphony by Mozart, played there by the Philharmonia Orchestra, conducted by Emmanuel Krivine. This is a piece by the contemporary English composer Philip Spark, who is noted for his concert band and brass band music, and this is one such piece. It's called A Winter's Tale, played here by Scott Stewart and the Emory Symphonic Winds. It's from the contemporary English composer Philip Spark, Winter's Tale, Scott Stewart and the Emery Symphonic Winds. Our music is supported by Viking, dedicated to bringing travelers closer to the destination. Viking offers a small ship experience with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com. I'm Steve Seal. Do stay tuned.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 57 and fair. Wind is from the south-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, scattered showers with a low in the mid-40s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. It's 57 and fair. That's KPR weather.
To say that guitarist Sharon Isbin is accomplished is understating things by a bit. Not just one of the greatest classical guitarists in the world, but the founder and director of the guitar department at Juilliard. And her crossover collaborations are pretty extensive too, with pop and rock performers from Josh Groban to Steve Vai. But it's when she plays works like this and we really get to hear what she's all about. Sharon Isbin with the Guitar Concerto by Heitor Villa-Lobos coming up in about 15 minutes. I'm Steve Seal.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Trump administration is giving Iowa more power to decide how it spends its federal education money. Iowa was the first state to apply for an exemption from certain spending rules after Education Secretary Linda McMahon invited states to request the flexibility last year. Such waivers have been offered for years, but are finding new interest under President Trump. Indiana and Oklahoma have made similar requests. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is calling on the state to keep the peace and for the country to ramp down political rhetoric after an ICE officer fatally shot a woman in Minneapolis. Minnesota Public Radio's Dana Ferguson reports.
Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says an ICE officer shot the 37-year-old woman in her car, fearing she would ram him or others. Witnesses at the scene say officers yelled contradictory orders at the woman and that she was attempting to turn her car around when the officer fired. The Minneapolis City Council identified the woman as Renee Nicole Good. Walz said local leaders warned about the potential danger of scaling up immigration operations in the state.
I don't want to be right about this, but I said if they do this, they're going to create a chaotic situation where someone innocent's going to get killed. And they did it. And now we hear more political rhetoric. Enough. Enough is enough.
He urged protesters to avoid violence and said he didn't want the Trump administration to deploy National Guard troops to the state. For NPR News, I'm Dana Ferguson in Minneapolis.
President Trump has abruptly changed his tone about Colombian President Gustavo Petro days after threatening his country with a military strike. Now Trump says they exchanged a friendly phone call and he invited the Colombian leader to the White House. Meanwhile, demonstrations took place across Colombia today after Petro denounced U.S. interference in Latin America. NPR's Carrie Kahn is at a protest in Bogota.
The main plaza in downtown Bogota is packed with protesters. They're waving flags, Colombian flags, and shouting their support for Colombian President Gustavo Petro. Many people are expressing indignation over the recent U.S. attacks in neighboring Venezuela and the threats that President Trump has made against their president, Gustavo Petro, here. He's called him a drug addict, a drug trafficker, and has even threatened that maybe he would be next to be removed from office. We spoke to one man who called President Trump a psychopath, said there's no reason to dialogue with him, and they are just here to show their support for Petro.
NPR's Carrie Kahn in Bogota, Colombia. Stocks closed mixed today. At last check, the Dow dropped 1%, the S&P 500 dropped 0.3%, and the NASDAQ nudged up 0.2%. I'm Ryland Barton. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
For some Kansas high school kids, math just isn't adding up. That's why this graduate researcher at the University of Kansas is calculating ways to help kids make the grade.
Hi, my name is Natalie Patton, and I'm a second-year doctoral student in the Department of Special Education here at KU. I'm also a graduate research assistant on a project called Math Words, led by Dr. Elizabeth Stevens, and I'm a former high school math teacher here in the state of Kansas.
Having been a high school math teacher, you've seen this problem firsthand.
After 8 years in the high school math classroom, I definitely noticed students struggling with foundational skills, and we know that teachers have reported that students are unprepared for high school level mathematics and continue to experience difficulty in mathematics throughout high school. In fact, 72% of 8th graders and 75% of 12th graders scored below proficient on the most recent National Assessment of Educational Progress in Mathematics Assessment.
Are you seeing some methods that are helping kids succeed?
Well, that's really the problem. We don't know a lot about how to boost math performance in high school because limited research exists. I actually only found 21 studies since the year 2000. And within those studies, we have some recommendations such as practice with feedback, video modeling, virtual manipulative, strategy instruction, graphic organizers, and goal setting. So it's not about buying a new textbook. It's about implementing these practices.
What are some benefits for Kansas high school kids that do better at math?
Well, what we know is that students who complete Algebra 2 are 3 times more likely to achieve positive post-secondary outcomes. These outcomes may include technical and vocational education, even higher salaries in STEM-related careers.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Well, good evening, and thank you for coming along for classical music tonight. My name is Steve Seal. We're going to listen to the wonderful guitarist Sharon Isbin on the way with the guitar concerto by Heitor Villa-Lobos and this overture here by the French composer Louis Fouranc, played here by Christoph Krennic and the European Soloists of Luxembourg.
Thank you.
Overture number 2 in E-flat by the French composer Louis Fourenc, played there by Christoph Koenig and the European Soloists of Luxembourg. In just a moment, a recording that guitarist Sharon Isbin won a Latin Grammy for. It's just around the corner.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming the Takash Quartet with pianist Joyce Yang on Tuesday, January 20th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 57 and fair. Wind is from the south-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, scattered showers with a low in the mid-40s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. It's 57 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Sharon Isbin received a 2005 Latin Grammy nomination for Best Classical Album and a 2006 GLAAD Media Award nomination for Outstanding Musical Artist for her recording that we'll listen to next. Joaquin Rodrigo's Concierto de Aranjuez was the marquee work on this disc, but it also featured concertos by the Mexican composer Manuel Ponce and the Brazilian Heitor Villa-Lobos, and that's the latter that we'll hear. By the way, she was the first guitar soloist ever to perform and record with the New York Philharmonic, or at least in 26 years, and this was the orchestra's first recording with the guitar. Sharon Isbin here, Jose Sorabriere, the New York Philharmonic.
Thank you.
Guitar Concerto by Heitor Villa-Lobos, played there by guitarist Sharon Isbin with the New York Philharmonic, led by Jose Serrabriere. I'm Steve Seal. Thank you for tuning in tonight. The contemporary American composer Tina Davidson says, I often compose to understand myself, to unravel an old confusion or pain. I also compose to learn more than myself, to project into what might be. This is one of her works. It's called Leap. That is called Leap by the contemporary American composer Tina Davidson in that work for violin, viola, cello, and piano. And we heard Jay Frevogel, Andrew Gonzalez, Rachel Henderson, Frevogel, and Natalie Zhu, respectively.
Every day, NPR goes straight to the news source, whether we're tapping the knowledge of NPR network colleagues.
Joe Shaneman is host of Nevada Public Radio's morning talk show, State of Nevada. He is here to host.
Or checking in with NPR foreign correspondents with deep expertise.
Joining us now to talk about all this is NPR's Joanna Kakissa. She's in Kyiv, Ukraine's capital. Good morning, Joanna.
Unpack the headlines. Stay connected. Stay informed. This is NPR.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 53 and fair. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, scattered showers with a low in the mid-40s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 50s. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. It's 53 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
Milan Turkovic as soloist here in the Bassoon Concerto in E minor by Vivaldi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Milan Turkovic playing bassoon concerto in E minor by Vivaldi, Trevor Pinnock in the English concert. Our music tonight is supported by Made In Cookware. Made In Cookware is crafted by chefs for use in restaurants and home kitchens around the world. Their cookware can be found at madeincookware.com. I'm Steve Seal. Stay tuned.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 53 and fair. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, scattered showers with a low in the mid-40s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 50s. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. It's 53 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. In Minneapolis today, an immigration officer shot and killed 37-year-old Renee Nicole Good while ICE was conducting what it calls targeted operations. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says the agent feared for his life and fired in self-defense.
ICE agents repeatedly ordered her to get out of the car and to stop obstructing law enforcement, but she refused to obey their commands. She then proceeded to weaponize her vehicle and attempted to run a law enforcement officer over.
Local officials and bystanders contradict Noem's account. Matt Sepik from Minnesota Public Radio has more on the bystander footage.
Federal agents are heard telling the driver, "Ma'am, get out of the car." The footage taken by a witness shows one federal officer walk around the right side of the car and around the front. Moments later, two other agents walk up to the driver's side. One tries to open the door. At this point, the driver begins to reverse on the icy street. As the officer hangs on the door, the driver begins to drive away from the scene. And then an officer in front of the SUV appears to fire into the car three times.
Minnesota Public Radio's Matt Sepik reporting. Secretary of State Marco Rubio briefed Congress this morning on the next steps following the U.S. operation that seized Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. As NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports, there was a clear partisan divide as lawmakers left the briefing.
Rubio says he told Congress step one will involve quarantine for Venezuela, which will include selling sanctioned oil and distributing the profits. Step two, recovery, will restore access to the Venezuelan market in a way he described as fair. He did not offer details on how step three, transition, will work. Lawmakers have been clamoring for a briefing from the administration, which did not notify Congress until after the military operation concluded. Republican lawmakers left the briefing praising the operation, while Democrats criticized the administration for not being forthright about what these next steps will entail. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer called on the administration to answer questions in public hearings. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News. The Capitol.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is calling for a special session in April to change the state's congressional map. Douglas Soule of member station WSF reports.
President Donald Trump has been putting pressure on conservative-led states to redraw maps to add Republicans to Congress. DeSantis says he wants Florida to wait for a U.S. Supreme Court ruling on a Louisiana case that could change how race factors into the process.
I have a very high degree of confidence that at least one or two of those districts on our current map are going to be implicated by this Supreme Court decision.
But Florida's House leadership wants a new map during the state's regular session, which starts next week. Republicans currently have 20 of 28 House seats. Democrats say the effort only boosts Republicans ahead of the midterms. For NPR News, I'm Douglas Soule in Tallahassee.
It's NPR. The Trump administration is cutting $160 million in transportation funds for California. Transportation officials say it's because the state delayed revoking 17,000 commercial driver's licenses for immigrants. The state notified those drivers in the fall that they would lose their licenses after a federal audit found problems. But last week, California said it would delay those revocations until March after immigrant rights groups sued. Many tour buses and RVs won't be able to travel through the country's second most popular national park this summer. David Condos of member station KUER reports.
Starting June 7th, Zion National Park in Utah will prohibit vehicles that exceed size limits from driving on the park's main road, the nearly 100-year-old Zion Mount Carmel Highway. It features several sharp curves as it winds through Zion's famed Red Rock Towers. Zion Transportation Manager Lisa White says the change should protect the historic road as well as improve traffic and safety.
I don't care how good of a driver you are, if your vehicle physically does not fit on the roadway, you're not going to stay in your own lane.
But the move will also force some of Zion's nearly 5 million annual visitors to drive the long way around the park. For NPR News, I'm David Condos in St. George, Utah.
Millions of people are celebrating Orthodox Christmas today, nearly 2 weeks after much of the world marked the holiday. The difference stems from calendar changes made in the 16th century. Some Eastern Orthodox churches follow the Julian calendar, which runs 13 days behind the Gregorian calendar. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Made In Cookware. Made In Cookware is crafted by chefs for use in restaurants and home kitchens around the world. Their cookware can be found at madeincookware.com. This is NPR.
Emmett Cohen at the piano and his tune called Spillin' the Tea, opening Jazz in the Night tonight right here on Kansas Public Radio. Emmett with bassist Russell Hall and drummer Kyle Poole, a 2022 release called Uptown in Orbit. I'm Bob McWilliams, and welcome to Jazz in the Night. We've got a couple of Monk tunes up next. We've got John Coltrane and Johnny Hartman on the way, and out of the vinyl vault, the legendary tenor saxophonist Sonny Rollins, recorded live in Sweden in 1959. Well, let's hear some Monk music. The first is the Monk tune Hackensack. We'll hear that from the debut album of a young trumpeter. It's called Introducing David Snyder. He's with the Rina Turakubo on alto sax and Jacob Chung on tenor sax. Tyler Henderson at the piano, Jerry Ranieri bass, Willie Bowman drums, great group of youngsters, and the Thelonious Monk tune, Hackensack, on KPR.